here at Lighthouse Baptist Church, and we're very thankful for all of you that have either gone on sermon audio and or on Facebook Live. I received a number of messages, text messages and emails, Facebook messages by so many of our church, and also saw some of my friends from Facebook that live in the area or live outside the area chose to go on our Facebook page and watch our services this morning. But I want to thank every one of you for tuning in. And also I want to thank Pastor Ken for putting all this together, and for our church members, attenders that have watched this as well and worked very hard to put all this together. So let's begin with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to ask Pastor Ken, if he will, to come lead us in one song. And then I'll come back and we'll do our regular Sunday night prayer time and announcements, and then we'll get right into the study for tonight. So let's go ahead and pray, and then I'll ask Pastor Ken to come and lead us in one song of worship tonight. Father God, we thank you for this evening that you have given, of where we can gather together and worship you in song, but also of how we can worship you in the teaching of your word. And Father God, I pray now that your name be honored and be blessed. And I pray that this time, this hour of where we gather together would be a time of encouragement and a time of blessing to so many that are watching or that are listening or will watch or listen in the future. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Pastor Ken, come lead us if you will, please.
And one of the great hymns of the faith, Who is on the Lord's Side? Let's sing that together.
Victory to secure. unchanging makes the triumph sure. Joyfully enlisting by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine.
All right, praise the Lord. And thank you once again, Pastor Ken, Bethany, Diana. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. And one thing I told my wife today is I said I greatly appreciate the faithfulness of the Andrews family and how they are so faithful, dependable, and how they are here each and every week to be a blessing to so many. So if you are a member and you have your bulletin there, I want to give a few announcements. And I gave those this morning, but once again, I want to go over those announcements once again in case you missed it this morning. And once again, because of the stay-at-home order that the governor has issued that will last for 30 days beginning tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock, we will not be having any gatherings here at the church for the entire month of April. But however, we will be live streaming all of our services. So we'll be having our regular Wednesday night, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night schedule. So you can, once again, if you're home and you're able, you can go on Facebook. You can watch it live on Facebook, or you can watch it on sermon audio. And I receive text messages by some that watch it on both venues. They either watch it on sermon audio or watch it on Facebook. And we are hoping that in the future, some have said that they would like to see the slides on Facebook. So we're looking to see of how we can combine the two of going through the same source. Instead of one having to use one camera, the other one having to use someone's phone, of how we can make it going through the same source. So we're going to be looking at that and seeing how we can put that together. Pastor Ken is a whiz at that sort of thing, and I appreciate him doing all of that. But prayerfully, we can return back on May the 3rd is what we're hoping we can do that. So let me go over once again some of our announcements. On April 10th, we'll have our Good Friday service at 7 o'clock. That will be online. So basically the same people that are here on our regular services to make sure that everything is being recorded and everything is being sent out. They will be the only ones that will be allowed to be here. And then our Resurrection Sunday will be having, instead of having sunrise service this year, we're going to have just simply our 11 o'clock service. And once again, that will be online. So all of our services and Bible studies throughout the month of April will be all online. And then hopefully, prayerfully, we can all get back on May the 3rd for our regular Sunday school, and then our Sunday morning worship. And then hopefully, prayerfully, as we always do on the first Sunday of May, we have our annual church picnic. And instead of going to another park like we have done in the past, we decided last year we're going to start having it here. So we'll be talking more about that as we get closer to that day. So May is going to be a busy month. June is going to be a busy month with the church picnic, and then Mother's Day, the Mother's Day breakfast, and then Mother's Day, the Memorial Day, and then going into June, we've got Father's Day, and then we've got Vacation Bible School coming up in June. And with that being said, my wife, Sean, who is our Vacation Bible School director, asked me to announce to anyone that is willing or wanting to work in Vacation Bible School, I'll be sending out an email tomorrow for you to look at, and there will be the jobs posted that you can volunteer to work in. We have lots of positions that you can do. You can help out with the singing. You can help out with crowd control. You can help out with registration. You can help out in the kitchen. You can help teach a class or help just assisting to teach a class, arts and crafts, games. So there's a lot that you can be doing in Vacation Bible School. So if you have your prayer sheet, let's go over a few things in regard to our prayer sheet. And then I'm going to read this week's missionary letter. and then we'll have our time of prayer together. So I want to mention just a few things to you. I think most of you, if not all of our members and attenders, have our church directory app on your phone. So let me remind you, each and every day, go down that app, pray over each member, attender, specifically by name. And if you know of any needs, prayerful needs that they need for us to pray over, let me encourage you to pray over them. And I came across something this past week. And in fact, I think I mentioned it in an email this past week. You know, we're encouraged to wash our hands. So every time you wash your hands, if you will recite the Lord's Prayer when you are washing your hands, it is 20 seconds exactly. I timed it, and I did it slow. So just keep in mind that every time you wash your hands, you recite the Lord's Prayer, you are praying. And so use washing your hands. Just don't use it to say happy birthday to you or happy birthday to someone else like they are saying. Use it a time of prayer. So recite the Lord's Prayer while you're washing your hands. And I guarantee you, God's Word says that it will not return back void or not return back empty. So you recite the Lord's Prayer every time you wash your hands. You will receive a blessing, I'm sure, by doing that. So continue, if you will, to pray for our spiritual, numerical, financial needs and growth here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Our theme this year is Together We Strive, and our theme verse is from Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, to stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Continue to pray for all of these areas of ministry, our people that are in positions of leadership, our Awana that meets at on Wednesdays, our Sunday school and our teachers that teach our Sunday school, our Vacation Bible School that will be coming up the last week of June, going to the first week of July, our blanket ministries, door-to-door canvassing, first-time visitor each week, and an increase in our membership and our giving, if you'll continue to pray for those. Pray for those that are on our sheet without the Lord. Pray that they will come to know the Lord, that they will hear the gospel call, that the Lord will draw them unto Himself, and they will respond in true repentance and faith towards Christ. But I mentioned about six names this morning that we need to pray in specifically for. There's Karen Prince, terminal colon cancer that is spread throughout her body. She has lived a lot longer than what the doctors had given her a couple of years ago. But let's continue to pray for her. We've got Jeff Hill, our member. We'll be having his sixth chemo treatment this Friday. He is feeling very weak and very tired and just really struggling. And so pray for him, if you will. That's Jeff Hill. And then in the middle of June, he will have his bladder surgery. So let's pray for him. Then there's the third grader at Liberty Christian Academy, Abigail Hawks, going through her treatments and also going through school at the same time. So remember to pray for her. And then Vivian Barefoot, who is the mother to two of our ladies in our church. She needs to have double bypass, but because of COVID-19 and with all of the surgery restrictions that they're having, they don't know when and if that is going to occur. And then our member that did test positive for COVID-19, she is recovering well at home. But now both of her parents have tested positive for COVID-19. So let's remember to pray for them. And then one of our missionaries that we support, Justin Rhodes, who I was with about 3 weeks ago, he posted on his Facebook today that him and his wife both are showing symptoms of COVID-19. I did not read or see the video that they had posted. I am sure that they have been tested. His wife is a nurse at one of the hospitals there in London, so I'm sure that she could get tested pretty quickly, but I'm not sure if they have tested positive. Maybe they're just showing signs of a cold, and maybe they're just going through the precautionary measures. But anyway, pray for them, if you will. And then we always have on our prayer sheet, we have general needs, our shut-ins, our government leaders. And particularly, we need to pray for our COVID-19 task force. And then we have our members of our military, especially those that deployed and then our missionaries. So I want to read to you this week's missionary letter that we received from our missionary to Costa Rica, and that is Ed Bordell. He said that December is always a very busy and productive month for us with the many outreach activities that we have. He said their choir was able to get into several rest homes, sing and preach in their parks, and they also had a Christmas cantata. God bless each of these activities with scores of decisions. Said that their auditorium parking lot were a maximum capacity of over 600 in the auditorium, 110 vehicles. Said they had many cars that were parked on the sidewalks, under trees, even in the front on the street. He said it was a tremendous night seeing dozens of visitors and many folks coming and trusting in the Lord. He has preached at several missions conferences in Nicaragua. And he said that it's very much a blessing to see a woman by the name of Marta come to her saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Also, the church has increased their faith promise by 100%. So he asked that we continue to pray for them and their ministry as they labor in the Spanish world. They're praying that that 2020 will be their most fruitful year in seeing souls saved, baptized, and they saw in January, they saw five new families being added to their church. So that is Ed Bordell. So let's remember to pray for him. Well, with that being said, let's go ahead and go to the Lord together in prayer, and let's pray over all of these needs. Father God, as we come before you tonight, Father, there are so many, Lord, that just need your hand upon them. Father God, we acknowledge that you are great and you are powerful, that you are holy and righteous, that you are sovereign, eternal and good, and just and patient. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gospel found in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We praise you for your word. We praise you that whenever your word is read, studied, meditated upon, taught, and preached, that it will always have its intended effect. Because you promised in your word that it will never return back empty. Father, please forgive us of our sin. And Lord, help us to have the attitude, Lord, of hating what you hate, but also, Lord, to have the attitude of loving what you love. And Father God, I pray that you would continue to cleanse us and forgive us. Give us a hatred of sin of ourself, the sin of pride, the sin of self-dependence. Forgive us, Father, of how we have sinned against you and sinned against others in our thoughts, in our speech, our actions, our attitudes, and our motives. Father, give us the fear of God. Help us to humbly repent when we are convicted of sin. Have mercy on us and forgive us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to your glory. And Father, we pray for our church needs, Lord. This is a very difficult time for so many families in our church, physically, but also with their jobs. Some are having to file for unemployment because their hours have been cut or being furloughed or being laid off. And the unemployment that they will receive, as you well know, is just not, does not meet a regular paycheck. But Father, we know that none of this has snuck up on you, that all of this, Lord, is designed by you. Perhaps, Lord, to bring the believer closer to you, to depend upon you more, but also, Lord, designed by you to bring the lost to trust you for salvation, to trust the finished work of Christ for salvation, for the church to reach those that are in need, for the church to reach those that are in need spiritually, but also financially and physically. Father, I pray that you would also encourage those pastors and those churches, Lord, that right now are suffering because of a loss of members or loss in finances. I pray, Father, that you would provide. And Lord, we are just going to trust you to do that. Father, I pray that you would just work in the leadership of this church, that you would bless our Awana, our Sunday school teachers, our Vacation Bible School that is coming up in June, our blanket ministries, our door-to-door canvassing of where we pass out door hangers and invite people to come to church. I pray, Father, that when all of this is said and done and we're able to open up our doors to worshipers that want to come and worship, that, Father, you would bring to us a first-time visitor each week, and that those first-time visitors, Lord, will have a desire to become active members. And we pray, Father, for an increase in our membership and an increase in our giving. Father, we pray for our members and attenders. We also pray for those that are lost. Father, we pray for those with health concerns, especially those with cancer. We continue to pray for Karen Prince and Matt Crump. We continue to pray for Jeff Hill and Abigail Hawks. We also continue to pray, Father, for Vivian Barefoot, who is in need of double bypass surgery. And Lord, we just do not know if and when that's going to occur. We pray for our church member, Lord, that tested positive for the COVID-19 virus. And we thank you and we praise you that she is recovering. But also now, Lord, we pray for his mother and now for both of her parents that have tested positive and that are very sick and fall underneath that category, Lord, of health risk of their age and also other factors, Lord. And Father, we pray for them. Father, we pray for those with general needs, especially, Lord, we pray for the teachers, homeschool parents and students and administrators, college students and other officials in our education system, both public and private. We do ask and pray that you would give them the wisdom and the guidance that they need during this very uncertain time of how to direct their schools, how to teach their students, and for the parents to be able to hold their children accountable and also, Lord, to be able to help their children in their academics. We pray for our one family, Lord, that is in the process of pursuing adopting a new child into their home. Pray for our shut-ins. We pray for our government. We pray for those on the COVID-19 task force. We pray for our president, our vice president, and so many others, Lord, our Supreme Court, our Senate, our House, our Congress, our State Senate, State House, our county and city officials. We pray for our law enforcement, fire, rescue, and EMS personnel. And Father, we also pray for those doctors and nurses that are working very hard in the very heavily affected area of New York and New Jersey, Connecticut. Saw this morning or this afternoon where some nurses and doctors in the Atlanta area are just past the point of exhaustion. And we lift them all before you. Father, pray for those in the military. We pray for our missionaries, especially tonight. We pray for Ed Bordell and his ministry there in Costa Rica. And now, Father, I pray now that you would be with us as we open up your word and as we teach your word, and then that we will learn from your word tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, take your Bibles, if you will, and let's go to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, and we're going to look at the first half tonight. We began some months ago going through the book of Genesis, and if this is your first time tuning in to us. You can always go on to our sermon audio through our, you can either go on sermonaudio.com or you can also go through our website, and you can bring up all of the messages in the past that we have been teaching on the book of Genesis. And we have entitled this study, The Book of the Beginnings. And we have gone through creation, we've gone through Adam, we've gone through Eve, and now we are in looking at the life of Abraham. And tonight, we're going to go from Abraham, we are now going to transition to Lot. So over the next two Sunday nights, maybe three, depends on how far we go tonight and how far we get into next Sunday night, we'll be looking at Lot. And the title of this lesson tonight and then next Sunday night is The Deliverance of Lot, The Destruction of Sodom. The Deliverance of Lot, The Destruction of Sodom. Now, we'll be going verse by verse through this tonight, so bear with me. I'll give you a few points of introduction tonight. But before we get into this study, and there will be possibly some controversial things that will be said and everything that I will say in regard towards Sodom, towards homosexuality, the LGBTQ movement, is biblical. And I do not apologize for that. But also I want to say this. And I want to say this very, very kindly. I want to say it with as much compassion as I can. We do not hate the homosexual. We do not hate the lesbian. We do not hate the transgender person. In fact, we love them. We want to see every homosexual, every lesbian, every person that is trapped in that sin of that lifestyle. We want to see them come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and repent from that sin and turn to Christ. So that is why we preach what we do. Because if we did not love the sinner, we would not preach what we do. But we love them, and we want to see them come to Christ. So tonight we're going to look at the first 14 verses of chapter 19. So let me give you three things as a matter of introduction tonight. The first thing that I want to say tonight is we are now returning back to Lot, who, as we discussed some weeks ago, he is the nephew of Abraham. So if you remember this, some time ago when we were beginning to look at the life of Abraham and also beginning to look at Lot, he had an advantage in his life. And that advantage was to know the Lord and to live a life to the fullest. So let me give you three bullet points underneath this, and we're turning back to Lot, who is the nephew of Abraham. He was taken in and raised by Abraham. He had observed the walk and testimony and witness of his uncle, who when he first began to know Abraham, he was just simply called Abram. But then later in life, God changed his life, changed his name to Abraham. So if you will, go back, if you will, to Genesis chapter 12, and I want us to look at verses 4 and 5. Okay, it says, so Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan, when they came to the land of Canaan. So with that being said, he had every opportunity, every advantage that was imaginable to know the Lord and to live life to the fullest. But sadly, he paid very little attention to the testimony and witness of Abraham. The second thing is in chapter 13, verses 5 through 18. Now, obviously, because of time, we're not going to read all of those verses, but let me kind of give it to you very in a Cliff Notes version here, a sharp dissension had come between the servants of Abram and the servants of Lot. And Abram decided he would take the high road, and he gave Lot a choice. He said, "Lot, you choose what land you want, and I'll take the leftovers." But, so he was given a choice. He was given a choice of land by Abraham. But the land that he chose was simply a different path. He looked at Sodom, and he chose to live close to Sodom. He chose selfishly. He decided he would settle close to Sodom. Now let's go, if you will, to Genesis 14. And let's look at verses 12 through 16. Where God's word says, "Then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, who was living by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and of Aner. These were allies of Abram. When Abram heard that his kinsmen had taken captive, he led forth his trained men born in his house, 318 of them, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. And he divided his forces against them by night, he and his services, and defeated them and pursued them to Hobah, north of Damascus. Then he brought back all the possessions, and also brought back his kinsman, or his nephew Lot, with his possessions, and the women and the people." So Lot was taken captive by an invading army. This invading army had also taken captive the king of Sodom. So he was living close enough to Sodom that he was taken captive. When he was freed by Abram and Abram's, I guess no other word for it, we could put it his army, he was taken back to Abram's homeland. But instead of returning back with Abraham, he chose to return to Sodom. So after being captured by an invading army, later freed by Abraham, he still chose to return to Sodom. Lot loved Sodom and what Sodom offered him. Whenever you see Sodom being discussed about in Scripture, it is never positive. It is always negative. And also, whenever you hear Egypt being discussed in Scripture, it is always negative. It is never positive. So let me give you here a stage, four stages here, that led Lot into a downward spiral of his life spiritually. First of all, let's go back to chapter 13. Let's read verses 10 through 11. "And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other." So the first step is Lot looked upon Sodom. See, that's where it always begins. It always begins with sight. Let me say this, that once you look at something, it is seared in your mind forever. So Lot looked upon Sodom. He liked what he saw. The next thing is in chapter 13, and let's look at verses 12 through 13. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. So he looks upon Sodom. Now he chooses to move toward Sodom. Now let's look at chapter 14 and verse 12. It says, "They also took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, who was dwelling in Sodom, and his possessions, and went their way." So it began with Lot looking upon Sodom. Then he chose to move toward Sodom. Now he is living in Sodom. And now let's go to chapter 19 and let's look at verse 1. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. So he looked upon Sodom. He chose to move toward Sodom. He moved into Sodom, and now he is sitting at the gate of Sodom. So here we see that Lot is a perfect example of what the scriptures would describe and the Apostle Paul described all throughout the book of 1 Corinthians and also 2 Corinthians, and that is a carnal Christian. And a carnal Christian is basically defined as this. It loves the things of the flesh more than it loves the things of the Lord. And that is very obvious, as we can see here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, where the scripture says, "And God delivered just Lot. He was vexed," or he was consumed with "the filthy conversation," or the filthy behavior, "of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, it vexed," or it confused, "his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." So Lot falls back spiritually. He was living a carnal life. He was living a life according to his flesh. He lived right at home. He was very comfortable living among the sinful and the wicked of the earth. Here we have a very sad picture of a man that had every opportunity in the palm of his hand to be rewarded by God by staying with Abraham, but instead he chooses to live in Sodom. So let me give you some points tonight. We're going to go halfway through this chapter tonight. So hopefully what we will learn tonight will encourage us not to be like Lot. So let's look at verses 1 through 3, then I'll give you the first point. It says, "The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the earth and said, 'My lords, please turn aside to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise up early and go on your way.' They said, 'No, we will spend the night in the town square.' But he pressed them strongly. So they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, and all the people to the last man surrounded the house." So point number one is this. Lot compromises with the world. He compromises with the world. We see the first point here, and that is that Lot sat in the gateway of Sodom. Now we could break it down of two reasons of why he was in the gate. He had either become the mayor of Sodom, or he was a city official who was responsible for city government, for settling disputes between the citizens. He could have been a judge that sat in the gate for that purpose. But he had also, another reason is, he had compromised his values. He was now living with the people of Sodom. Perhaps he was at the gate. This was a public gathering place, conducting business, or just simply to pass the time away. But as we see in Psalms chapter 1, we are commended to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But Lot was a believer. But there was some inner goodness within him, because it says here that he demonstrated Abraham, at least he had learned some values from Abraham, paid some attention to Abraham, that he demonstrated some righteousness to the two angels. Because if you will note in verse 3, he says, in verse 3 here, it says, but he pressed them strongly, or encouraged them strongly, to come into his house. When they got into his house, he made a feast, baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Because he knew that when they came into the town, he knew that there was a great threat. He knew that there was a great danger of them being in the city of Lot. We believe here that the two angels probably refused the invitation at first because they had come to Sodom to investigate the wickedness. But instead, they, out of respect to Lot, they didn't want to inconvenience him, and so they went into the house of Lot. Now let's look at verses 4 through 11. Where it says, but before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people to the last man surrounded the house. And they called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them. Lot went out to the men at the entrance, shut the door after him, and said, I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. Behold, I have two daughters who have not known any man. Let me bring them out to you and do to them as you please. Only do nothing to these men, for they have come under the shelter of my roof. But they said, stand back. And they said, this fellow came to sojourn, and he has become the judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. Then they pressed hard against the man Lot and drew near to break the door down. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they were struck with blindness, the men who were at the entrance of the house, both small and great, so that they wore themselves out groping for the door. So I want to give you a few points here. And that is, secondly, we see that Lot, first point was that he compromised with the world. Now he has backslidden so far that he is now living in a state of depravity. He's living in a state of depravity. See, Sodom is always pictured in Scripture of being a city that is depraved. The scene that we see here written in Scripture is both sad that Lot has come to this point in his life of depravity, but also we also see here that is very shocking because of the events that is occurring here. Lot is so far backslidden, so carnal, so fleshly minded that he offers a compromise here with these men. So let's go step by step through this. Lot had chosen, as we see in verses 4 and 5, he had chosen to live in a godless and depraved environment. All of the citizens of Sodom were depraved. And all, except for Lot, that we can tell here, they were all practicing homosexuals. Now, what many have tried to say is, so many skeptics of Scripture, that they try to say that at the very end of verse 5, where it says, bring them out to us that we may know them, what they are saying is they want to become socially acquainted with them. But that word know in the original Hebrew, and I believe it's the New King James has it more accurately translated as that we may have carnal sex or sexually depraved acts with them. So all were practicing homosexuals. And then we see in verses 6 and 7, he has made his home with the wicked and the depraved. He was becoming one with them. Now note what it says in verses 6 and 7. He says, Lot went out to the men at the entrance, shut the door after him, and said, I beg you, my brothers. So he goes out to them and he calls them my brothers. What is meant by this brothers? The original Hebrew word means friend. He calls them his brothers, or he calls them my friends. Lot knew these people. They were his day-to-day friends, his acquaintances, his neighbors, his business associates. He had no testimony before them. They had no clue that Lot was a believer. In their minds, he was just like them. He was one of them. That he loved the world and the things of the world, thus they expected him to grant their wish. Perhaps, maybe, as he walked through, in fact, there is no maybe here, I believe this is fact, that as he would walk through the streets of Sodom and he would hear and see the carnal homosexual acts that were being performed, he turned a blind eye towards it and condoned it. And then we see, letter C, he had become immersed by selfishness and compromise. Let's look here at verse 8. Now, this is very sad. He says, behold, I have two daughters who have not known any man. Or two daughters that were virgin. Let me bring them out to you and do to them as you please. Only do nothing to these men, for they have come under the shelter of my roof. So he has become immersed by selfishness and compromise. He offers his own virgin daughters in exchange for the guest. So basically what he is attempting to do is he is attempting to exchange a sin for a sin. What an unbelievable act of compromise Lot now has become. And that is, he is offering to give his daughters to the mob in exchange for the guest. How can he do this? There's three thoughts here. Perhaps maybe he was trying to save his own life, fearing their threats. Perhaps he was so threatened and fearful that he was confused, or did he know that the guests were angels and he was willing to sacrifice his two daughters to save them? No matter the reason, he was still attempting to substitute one sin for another. And then, sadly, he lived a life of hypocrisy. He lived a life of hypocrisy. He spoke out of both sides of his mouth. He had sat at the gate. He had judged them. He had reproved the citizens of Sodom for injustices. But at the same time, he was compromising with them in their lifestyle. 2 Peter 2:8 says this, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He had attempted to influence them for good. He had sat at their city gate as one of their ruling officials of the city, judging and perhaps making laws, censoring many in the laws of the town. But he also had lived a compromising life. So they saw Lot as a hypocrite, as a backslider, as one that didn't live what he believed. But then in verses 10 through 11, he was delivered by the two angels. They reached out and they grabbed him, brought him inside the home. They struck the mob with some sort of blindness, pulled Lot back into the home. Henry Morris says this, the fact that the old men as well as the young were driven by these lusts, and that rather than practicing them in secret, they shouted their desires aloud in the streets. It still adds another dimension to the enormity of the thing. No wonder God had told Abraham that the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grievous. But you know, we also see that in our modern times today. What used to be in secret is now being in the open. Jude said in Jude chapter 7, verses 14 and 15, he said, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh of homosexuality and perversion, they are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all of their harsh speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Jeremiah 6, verse 15 says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush or be embarrassed. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. So we see here that Lot is such a backslidden state that he is now endorsing their depraved lifestyle. But then we also see another very, very sad thing, and that is the poor testimony of Lot. The poor testimony of Lot. And this is where we will finish tonight. So now let's look at verses 12 through 14. Then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone you have in the city, bring them out of the place, for we are about to destroy this place, because the outcry against this people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city. But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. So here we see another poor picture of what has happened in the life of Lot. He has gone so far away from the Lord in his backslidden state that he has a very poor, if any, testimony. But we see in these verses of 12 through 14, we see a warning that is given. The two angels have given him a warning. Save your family. Go to your family and warn them of the incoming judgment. Save your family. Escape the coming judgment. A judgment will be coming. But then as he goes to his family, his testimony is powerless. They did not trust what he had said. He warns his family. He warns his sons-in-law. But instead of taking him serious, they laughed at him. They thought it was a joke. Because it says at the end of verse 14, but it seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. It was a joke. Lot failed. He warns his testimony. He warns his family. But because he has no testimony, they don't take him serious. His family laughed at him. They thought it was a joke. So his message of judgment was not believed. His testimony, personal testimony, was meaningless because he had lived such a worldly life too long before his family. They did not see any difference between his life and the lives of the worldly. He had failed to point his family, his own children, to the Lord. So Lot has failed. He has failed miserably. He failed to obey God's instructions in teaching his children. But he also failed to do what Abraham did, to teach the ways of the Lord to his family. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, we see, for I know him, talking about Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken. of Him. So now, let's go, if you will, to two points of application tonight, and then we will pray and we will be dismissed. I want you to go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And if you're in the habit of underlining or circling things in your Bible, in fact, maybe in the margin there of Genesis chapter 19, you might want to write down this verse here of 1 John chapter 2. I got a new Bible, so I'm having a hard time with all my pages sticking together. But 1 John chapter 2 simply says this: do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So let me ask you these two questions. How is your walk with the Lord? How is your walk with the Lord? Are you walking with the Lord? Do you love the Lord or do you love the world? Do you have one foot with the Lord and then another foot with the world? Now, if you will, go with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and let's look at verse 5. I remember the first time that I read through this verse, and it just stuck out to me. And it caused me to ask myself a question. Now, let's read it, and then I'll get into the application. Where it says, by faith Enoch was taken up, so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. That word pleased God in the original Greek means testimony. See, they had no doubt when Enoch was translated or taken up into heaven, they had no doubt where he had gone. Because his walk with the Lord was so close, they had no doubt that he had walked from this earth and walked into the presence of the Lord. So with that being said, I want to ask you this question of application. How is your testimony? Do you have a testimony? Recently, I watched a wedding from a college friend and also one that I served on staff with. His son was recently married, and at his wedding, his father got up to say a few words at the wedding, and he said in the remarks, he gave the salvation testimony of Joseph. And he said that after Joseph had either gone to church or had been in chapel at the Christian school, they were challenged in the message about their testimony. He said he came home and he said, Dad, he said, I don't have a testimony. I don't have a testimony that I've ever come to know the Lord as my Savior and that I'm living a life that is close to the Lord. So do you have a testimony? Do you have a testimony that you have come to know the Lord? Is Christ Lord? When people see you and they know you, they hear you, when your neighbors see you in your yard, when your co-workers are working with you, when your children see you and they are with you, do they know that you are a practicing believer? Do you have a testimony? How is your testimony? So how is your walk with the Lord? Do you love the Lord or do you love the world? And how is your testimony? When people see you and know you, do they know that you are a believer? Let's pray together, maybe. Our Father, as we have examined tonight the life of Lot, and we will continue to look at his life next Sunday night as we gather once again. And Father, here was a man that had great opportunity to walk with you and to live with his uncle Abraham and to receive all the blessings that you had given to Abraham to be a part of the many blessings from you, but he chose to go the other way. But now, Father God, I pray now that you would help us in our walk with you. Help us in our testimony to maintain and to keep a good testimony. For it takes a lifetime to build up your credibility and to build up one's testimony, but all it takes is one act to destroy it, as we have seen so many, especially of recent. So many men that were held in such high esteem, but by one tragic act, they lost it all. And now, Father, I pray that you would use this to teach us to value our walk with you and also to value our testimony. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you once again for being with us tonight. And I hope that you will tune in Wednesday night for our regular Bible study, our prayer time, our Bible study. We'll be going over our weekly prayer sheet, and then we'll get into lesson 12 of our study of reasons to believe in the Gospel of John about the deity of Christ. And then next Sunday, we'll be here at 10 o'clock for Sunday school. We'll be here at 11 and then back at Sunday night at 6 o'clock. So be sure to tune in on either Facebook Live or Sermon Audio. God bless you, and we'll see you back Wednesday night.